Let us pray. Father, whether because of my words or in spite of them, may your word be spoken among us this morning. Whether we come with willing ears or stubborn ones, help us to hear. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I wonder when you became afraid of the dark. Now, please understand, I'm not saying you're afraid of it now. I'm sure everyone here is very brave in the face of the dark. I bet you laugh when you turn the light switch off. I bet you're not afraid at all. But I bet there was a time when you were afraid. And I wonder why. I wonder what caused that. Almost nobody is born afraid of the dark. Child development folks, psychologists, and therapists say it's very rare for a child to be afraid of the dark until about age 2. I don't remember being super paralyzed by a fear of the dark, but I can remember as a child that there was a period when the closet light was a non-negotiable part of my bedtime protocol. Closet was on the other side of the room from my bed. If I turned the light on, but then cracked the door just enough, it would give just enough light. Not enough to keep me awake, but plenty to help me tell the difference between the substance and the shadows that were caused by the street lights and the moon outside my window. But if the best case scenario for bedtime was the closet light turned on and the door cracked, the worst case was the door wide open, but with no light. Because my closet, when the light was turned off, was darker than dark. None of the light that came through the window could reach into the closet. And so when the door stood open and the light was off, the entryway to that closet was this big, black, blank canvas where my imagination would run wild. I didn't watch horror movies as a kid. I don't really watch them today, to be honest. I've never really understood the value proposition on a horror movie, by the way. I don't know what the best case scenario is. Seems to me most horror movies are dumb. And when I'm watching a dumb movie, I think, this is dumb. What am I doing with my life? And every so often, there's a horror movie that's really, I guess I should say, good. At least it's good at its job. And that means that it's really genuinely scary. And scared, by definition, is a feeling I do not want to feel any more than I want to feel I'm bored or doing something dumb. So anyway, those have never been my bag. But when I was a kid, I would sometimes watch television. And back in those old days, television came with commercials. And sometimes those commercials would tell me just enough about some upcoming horror movie to be dangerous. I'd go to bed at night with just enough of the commercial playing in my head, enough that I could imagine the rest of the script that I could imagine was all playing out somewhere inside my closet, a closet so dark that I didn't dare get out of my bed and walk to the closet to turn on the light, because if I got too close to the darkness, there was no telling what might be inside there. I can't say for sure that that's what John was thinking. But he ran to the tomb as fast as he could, faster than Peter, he wants you to know. And then he just stopped the door. Such an odd detail for John to give us about himself, especially since he can't be bothered even to tell us his name in the gospel. He just calls himself the other disciple. But apparently it matters a lot that he beat Peter when he raced him to the tomb. And apparently it matters a lot that when he got to the tomb, he could not bring himself to go in there alone. There was no telling what might be inside. Isn't that what made you first afraid of the dark? Back when you were, of course. It wasn't the things you knew. It was the things you didn't know. What you couldn't see. What you couldn't be sure of. In the dark, even the most familiar things can trip you up if they aren't exactly where you last put them. And look, I know this is Easter Sunday. I know it's an odd time to talk about fears and darkness, but I can't help mentioning it. Because I can't get over this one other little detail that John wants to make sure that we have from the gospel this morning. A little detail tucked right away at the very beginning of the Easter moment. John does not care if we know his name, but he wants us to know how he pulled up short at the tomb. And he also wants us to know that Mary came to the tomb early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the courage? Can you imagine the sorrow and the love she must have felt to overcome her fear that gave her that courage, that drove her into an unknown garden in the dark, where any number of soldiers might have been standing guard, where any number of enemies might have been waiting to capture her or to stone her, to snuff out the last flickering lights from the fire Jesus had ignited. She could not even wait for the sun to rise. She had to go. She had to honor Jesus. It was a need so great that she had to act on it while it was still dark. And that's how she discovered that there is light after the darkness, that there is life after death. And after she had faced all that was unknown, Mary discovered the most astonishing thing of all. He still knew her name. The voice, the one she had never hoped to hear again, it was the same voice that said, "Mary." She was saying, "We do not know where he is." She said, "If you just tell me where he is, I'll put everything back where it belongs so we don't have to stumble in the dark any longer." She said, "I just need to know what I don't know." And he said, "Mary?" And here's the thing. If you live in fear of the unknown, you will never be truly known. Hear that again, because one day, and that day might be today, it will be the only thing that matters. If you live in fear of the unknown, you will never be truly known. That makes it sound ominous. Makes it sound like a warning. I've put it that way because I don't want you to miss it. But there is a truer way, a better way, a way of promise rather than threat. And now that I've got your attention, I hope you can hear this too. When you have walked through everything you do not know, you will be known. If you choose not to wait, if you are willing to seek Jesus, to trust Jesus, to live your life in praise of Jesus, if you can do that while it is still dark, the morning is going to come. The day is going to break. And even while it is still too early for you to see his face, you will know that it was the Savior of the world who called you by name. When you have walked through everything you do not know, you will be known. You will know yourself to be loved by the one who will never die and could never forget you. When you have walked through everything you do not know, you will be known. I mention all this because there are some folks here this morning who've heard the Easter story 100 times, maybe 1,000, but you're here and you're still worried about what you don't know. You ask yourself constantly, "Do I really believe it?" You're here today and you don't know if your faith is strong enough. And if that's you today, then I have good news. Your salvation, which is to say your relationship with God, has never depended on the strength of your faith. Jesus once said that the tiniest scrap of faith, the teensiest little bit of faith, is enough. Even if your faith is so small that you lose it in a pile of mustard seeds, God will find it. And the God who knows the hairs of your head knows your faith. And the God who made the cosmos out of nothing can take even that little sliver of trust that you place in him, and God can use that to move mountains. You don't know if your faith is strong enough. Hear the good news. When you step into the unknown, you will be known. You will find the faith that God has had there all along, the faith that God has always known you needed. There's some other folks here today who have no concerns at all about your faith. You know that you know that you know that you know. What you don't know is why other folks don't know. Hell no. Maybe you're just not doing it right, saying it right. Why is it that it's so hard to share what you know with a parent or a child or a friend or a loved one? You know someone who is hurting, and you don't know how to give them hope. And if that's you today, I have good news. God knows your love for them. God loves them even more dearly than you do. And the single most powerful thing you can do is simply to know them. To know them as God knows them. To love them for their own sake. You've never needed to know all the answers. You just need to be God's reminder that they are known. When Mary ran to the disciples, the very first testimony she gave was, "We don't know where he is." It wasn't until much later that she could say, "We have seen the Lord." You don't know if you know enough to share your faith the way you think you ought to. Hear the good news. When you step into the unknown, you will be known. When you love as God loves, when you know your loved ones for their own sake, the ones you pray for, even if you do it imperfectly, they will know your heart. They will find the love that God has had for them all along. And you will know how desperately, how powerfully, how deeply and unrelentingly you are known by God. There's one other group of people here that I want to talk to. There's at least one person here today who already knows all you need to know. Maybe you've known it for a long time. You know that Jesus has been calling you name. The only thing that's keeping you from answering is that you don't know who you'll be when he's done with you. You're afraid. You're afraid you'll be less fun without your addiction. You're afraid you'll be forgotten without your pride. You're afraid your friends will outrun you toward whatever it is they're chasing, if you build your life on what really matters. You're afraid that the worst things in life are also the things that get you out of bed in the morning. If you quit chasing them, you don't know where you'll find your motivation. You're afraid to step into the light. To say, "I know what I've done, and I am so sorry." You're afraid that if you ever said that, you would only receive more blame and never know forgiveness. You don't know if you want to know the person Jesus made you to be. You don't know what you'll find after you've died to yourself. And I have good news. When you step into the unknown, you will be known. And what is known will be loved. You will find more hope than you ever dared to dream of. You will find that the life ahead of you is so much bigger than anything you've ever known. And I also know this. I know that you cannot know any of this. Not really. You cannot know it ahead of time. You can only know it by experience. You can only know it by taking that step while it is still dark. You can't know resurrection unless you're willing to die. Some of you today are trying so hard to hold death at arm's length. Don't worry, I've been there. I've known entire churches that were afraid to die. You're not the first person to try and put your old life on life support. To tell yourself that a few more weeks of spiritual rehab, you'll be just like your old self again, as if that's what God wants for you. As if that's what you need to be your old self. Someone here is afraid of the dark. You tell yourself you'll walk to the garden once they put in proper street lamps, or maybe later in the day when the sun is up, but then when it comes up, you'll say it is too hot and too bright. All that work you're doing, all the justifying, all that you're doing is just putting off the day when you can hear your Savior call you by name and you can know your true self, the new creation you were made to be. And hear the good news. When you have walked through everything you do not know, you will be known. Truly known. And if you want to know whether I really believe that about you, I'm counting on it. Counting on it for myself. It's been 25 years since I preached my first Easter sermon, and I know better than anyone here that Paul is right when he says, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then I am an absolute fool. But over and over, I have stepped into the unknown with Jesus. And over, he has met me with the kind of faith and hope and love that have made me new. And I am not who I was when I preached that first sermon, but I praise the same God. And I have never been more sure that I have always been loved. And last week, I found a digital copy, a scan of a letter that someone sent me after that very first sermon. I'd totally forgotten they ever sent this letter. It was a kind man who praised me in the sermon far beyond their deserving, and then ended his letter with a favorite story of his. Now, 25 years later, I know what it means more than ever. He said, what does Easter mean to you? I asked a child of 6 as she was hurrying to her friends to play. And she beamed her reply, it means the Easter Bunny is going to bring me lots of candy and clothes. I met a youth of 16, and after a little thought, he said, Easter means Christ is risen from the dead. And I met a man of more than 60 years, and he said, Easter means I have only begun to really live. There is light after the darkness, life after death. And all that you are afraid to die to is nothing compared to the life ahead of you. And after you have walked through everything you do not know, you will be known. And nothing, not even death itself, could stop him from calling your name because Christ is risen. Hallelujah.